So friends, here we are finishing out our series on care as we looked at prayer, visitation, service, and care. And we're going to look at the theme of what it means to retreat. What does it mean to retreat as a Christian, as a disciple? What would that look like for us? And what does it look like when God calls upon us to take steps back, to avoid conflict, and to ensure care and that no harm comes to people? This is a unique challenge for us to answer because those of us who have served in caring ministries can share, I think, pretty readily, times in their life when it was quite challenging to ensure that those in their care would avoid harm and be safe. We can think of times of those among us saying, you know, don't touch the stove, it's hot. We're talking about friends saying, well, if they were to jump off a bridge, would you? We have pressures that are social, pressures that are inside us, calling us to do one thing or another, pressures of self-determination. So among all these different challenges, here we also see something quite unique and powerful. When we had the question, how would a person of limited means serve a limitless God and provide care? Here we see Joseph and Mary bringing the Son of God into the world, wondering how they're going to care for this child and not forget him at the temple, amen. And they're seeking to take care of this child, and then they have multiple opportunities where they are told quite directly, get up and go, someone's going to try to harm Jesus, time after time after time. In fact, that would not stop all throughout his ministry to the final quintessential moment he would be put to death on the cross. Persecution would not stop for Jesus his whole life long. You think of times in your life where you may have felt persecution or have threat of harm, challenges that arise. We don't need to look far to realize that a ministry of care for each other or being recipients of care has something that has been happening throughout our lives. When we were children, we were recipients of care, were we not? And now, as adults, we are looking to care for each other, to take on these skills and to better be disciples and loving people in our community. So when we talk about a servant in God's ministry of care, we are actually describing all of us at some point in our lives, and for some of us quite active today, are in a ministry of care. Caring for those who might struggle to consider or anticipate potential harm that can come as a natural consequence of life decisions or certain circumstances. And this is a major function we have as servants in a caring ministry when we're trying to raise disciples by sometimes raising the alarm where it's appropriate. Now, this is a unique challenge to us, and we can think of some examples of this. I, in my life, can think of a time when we were in Boy Scouts together, and we were planning yet another trip out into the woods. We were planning a camping experience. And what was peculiar, as is typical, is that when we talk about the motto of being prepared, they always would then give us a list of things to bring and a list of things not to bring. And I think I shared this before. There was one particular time that we were going out into the woods to do a camping trip. And on that list was all sorts of things to pack, but one that was not to be packed was said, do not bring snacks or food of any kind. Food will be provided. Do you think we listened? Yeah, no. A lot of us didn't. We thought, okay, we understand food will be provided, but I know what I like best. So a lot of us boys, we brought our own snacks and sodas and things and kind of stowed it in the pack, and we thought ourselves clever. We arrived at the campsite, unpacked our things, set up our tents, and when everything seemed to be settled in, before we started our activities, the camp counselor came out and had us gather around the campfire area and said, I am positive that some of you have brought snacks. I'm just going to ask you to do this once, go back to your tents. Whoever brought snacks, I'm not going to name names, I just want you to bring it out. We're going to put it in a pack, we're going to tie it and hang it up in a tree. Now, to some of you who have not been camping before, that seems kind of peculiar. What an unusual pinata, full of sodas and snacks and treats. That's interesting. You see, the reality is that we were in the middle of bear country. Bears are kind of a scavenger, and if they find sense of food from miles away, they'll come in and they'll find this food. They were worried that us young men who were in thin tents could be inviting a bear to visit. So we each brought our food out and we put it into the front and we put it into this big pack and he tied it up and he did in fact hoist it up into a tree. I remember being a young man thinking, this is a really strange thing to do. And I would say that it went all well and good, but you know my stories don't go that way. One of the young men thought himself rather clever and kept a couple treats in his tent anyway. About 2 o'clock that morning, we heard screaming. I remember waking up and thinking, is somebody dying? What is going on? It was a terrible scream. So I got up and threw open my tent flap, and about 30 feet out, I could see a bear with his head poking into a tent flap, rooting around for food. Not a half second goes by, and you see two boys in their underwear run out the back of the tent going, ah! Taking off. I was frozen. I thought, oh, don't come to our tent. Did I keep food? Oh, no. And then I see the counselor running out and try to scare the bear away, and the bear ran off. We had a nice talking to the following morning. The counselor was none too pleased, as you can imagine. When we talk about caring ministries, we're talking about anticipating the bear to come, right? The bearing of burdens to come, the natural consequence that can come from certain lives, and we can see that, we can anticipate that. It's part of the discernment we have in a caring ministry. So whether you're a parent trying to keep a kid from getting cavities, whether you're a parent or, let's say, somebody in a military service or a police officer, please don't speed. Not because we're a bummer and don't like a thrill ride. We want you to be safe. We see this in all places, that a serving ministry, a caring ministry, is one that can see that the way ahead needs to be careful, needs to concern themselves with the harm and can anticipate the harm that could come. So when he's in a particular caring ministry, he has to be discerning, and he hears in visions and here in dreams, he hears a warning, a loud call in the night saying, get up and go, the bear's coming to the steps. So he hears this, and at verse 14 he says, he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. When you get up in the middle of the night and pack yourself and go, you're not really, you're kind of panicked, you know? You're ready to go. So he stayed there until he knew that the coast was clear, until Herod had passed on. And scripture also goes out of its way to let us know that this actually fulfills a prophecy saying that they will come out of Egypt. I called my son out of Egypt. Now this also raises another important point for us, that when we talk about caring ministries, when you're trying to care for people, sometimes it actually can bring out the worst in some of us. Allow me to explain. When Herod, who is in power, found out that Jesus was coming into the world to be declared a king, he didn't celebrate. He saw it as a threat to his own power. He saw it as a challenge to his way of life. And he was expecting that the Magi would be on his side and report these things, but then he realized at verse 16 that he was outwitted by the Magi, and he became even more angry. So he ordered the genocide of young boys. This too fulfilled scripture. This too is a consequence God could see coming. You see, friends, when we talk about offering support for someone else's transformation, we're trying to walk alongside someone, whether that's a parent or a guardian, a beloved one, we're trying to see them through life. Offering that support, offering those warnings initially, is just the beginning. Yes? For many of us, this is a lifelong thing. And we want to know, well, is there an end in sight? We're going to get to that end in a minute. But when we first start out, we know that there's a lot more work ahead of us. Because the peers that are around them will question. They will see the transformation as bad, and they'll try to challenge that change and transformation. This is an uphill battle most of the way. Common examples of this is that when individuals attend AA, one of the challenges they have is to find new support networks and friends that don't drink. It's a challenge to have to step out of the social situation and to find support to continue in your decision and choice. When you try to go on a diet, amen, you have to find ways to get away from the cookies, right? Surround yourself with supporting systems and people. There are all sorts of situations for this. Or the individual that likes to party Saturday nights and then has to sleep through Sunday and then decides, you know what, I'm going to stop doing that. I want to go to church more often. Well, they might have peers around them who might feel that they're being judged and saying, you know, are you thinking you're better than me that you don't party with us? You get social pressures. The cooker begins to heat up. We see this in all sorts of places in life. Bring in your own example. Think of a time in your life when you tried to make a change for better or lead someone else, and outside pressures influence that. What I'm getting to, in a sense, is, friends, history repeats itself. There's not a whole lot new under the sun. When Jesus comes into the world, people are coming after him. When you came into the world, it wasn't always peaceful. Challenges arise. When you're called into caring ministries or to serve, to visit, challenges will arise. We're looking forward to this in the new year, and we hope for the best. But as we said before, we're going to pray to catch the bus, and then we're going to run as fast as we can. Amen? It's both and. So that becomes the challenge, is to hope for the best, but to also show up and bring our best. So, they escaped to Egypt, and now they get a word. Verse 19, Herod dies, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, something quite familiar, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who are trying to threaten you to take the child's life are no more. Now this brings up another important point for us, going from here and there and everywhere, is that someone who is a servant in caring ministries, we also serve as a kind of a channel, a go-between between God's grace and people. Now, they're recipients of grace whether we are a channel or not. God's grace is for all people. But the challenge for us, the unique challenge for us, is to take on that grace, to be a channel, to further funnel God's grace, to embody who God is with us. So this means for us that a person's transformation, the person we're loving and caring for, can only be so successful if we're willing to model and a consistent obedience to God, how we have a healthy connection to God. And we talk about this before, that sometimes we need to retreat because maybe our faith is wavering as we're serving. We might need to step back and let someone else serve a minute. We might need to reconnect, be still, and know God. Or at other times, we have been still for quite a long time. We are plenty connected, and we need to get into the fray. Again, knowing where you are is a personal journey. I remember years ago, and I've shared this before, I was at Creation Fest for many years, about 14-some years in total. I was a Creation Fest geek. It was about the 9th or 10th year of attending. I had always enjoyed this as being a young adult, being a youth myself. I could go to the concerts with a friend, and I can go and hear the messages, and I was so moved by it, I could recommit my faith every year. But about the 9th or 10th year in, the role had kind of changed. I had suddenly become a young adult. I was attending college. And now the peers that are around me are younger than me, and there are chaperones there who are adults who are older than me. I found myself in the middle. You know that song, Caught in the Middle? Yeah. I was somewhere in the middle of this space. Somewhere between the adults asking the kids and youth to participate in things like doing dishes and taking care of the campsite, alongside the kids wanting to run out and attend the services. Suddenly, I had become the impromptu youth leader. Anybody else? Yeah. And I realized I was in a really unique position. I needed to better embody the obedience of God, the obedience and love for mother and father, and couple that with my influence for these kids. You see, for many of them, they didn't listen so well to the adults, but they would look to me in my example, what am I doing? They would ask them, can you pick up this and do that? And they go, okay. And I realized we're playing a card game, so I'd put down mine and go, okay, well, I'm going to do mine first. I had to set an example. Think in your life the awesome responsibilities you have to lead by example. And it's not easy, amen. Yes? How difficult is it to embody the love of Christ and carry that into your work? to carry that into social gatherings and family or friends, to carry that with the classic bowling league you've been a part of for 20 years. I don't know. Think of your contexts. Bringing Christ into that space and being intentional about it, it can be challenging. And we say it's challenging because we said before, sometimes it's uncomfortable, it challenges the status quo. Sometimes it's challenging because we have to admit our faith, and it's also challenging because now we have to embody it and take on the role of what a Christian is. Maybe we weren't being as Christ-like as we were supposed to be. It is a unique challenge. So likewise here, Joseph, who was until very recently relaxed and waiting to get married, is now having to take care of the Son of God. He had to grow up quick. Amen? There's no more waiting for the party. Your role has started, Joseph. And so he runs. He's taking on this responsibility. I'm going to take him from place to place. I'm going to protect him. I'm going to care for him. I'm going to make sure she has a place to stay. And oh no, the inn is full. What do I do? Let's go to the barn. We see a human man doing all he can to love the Son of God. And God works in and through it. Even if it isn't the best situation. They forget him at temple, yes? They can't find a place for him to stay. He has to lay in a manger. Do you know how dirty that is? But still, they do. And I do the best I can, amen? Because we're human. Mistakes happen. This morning upstairs, the power went out in our first service. So we started to sing in the dark before it came back on. Things happen. Our adaptability, our willingness to go along with this and to accept that God is going to be there and work in and through the challenges. We're not alone in that. We all have to do that. See, here again, he was called at verse 19, get up, take your wife and the baby and go. And verse 21, it says the same thing. So he got up, he took the child and his mother, and he went to the land of Israel. Has anyone else here moved houses multiple times in your life? Yes? Packing boxes, oh, what a joy. Yeah. Imagine not having the truck, not having the cardboard box, and one time you had to do that in the middle of the night. You can imagine the challenge of newborn parents. But man, what a powerful example and great attitude for Joseph. He got up, he did what needed to be done. Verse 22, he had heard that there were still threatening powers in Judea. There was an individual put into power in place of his father Herod, and he was afraid to go. He had been warned again in a dream. Again, he had to discern a way forward. Man, you'd think he'd catch a break by now. It's hard enough taking care of the Son of God. Now I have to keep moving? Oh, my word. That's life. Things happen. Amen. Yes? Anyone here have it easy? No? Okay, good. Good. You're not alone. But even so, the powerful, beautiful thing here is that at every step along the way, it fulfills prophecy. It's just as God had saw the challenges would come. He has anticipated it. He knows what's coming. He sends help. He calls you to new places. God is working in and through the challenges of your life. Do you believe that? Amen. And God's going to continue. Let's begin to close here. Friends, a servant of a caring ministry is someone who can retreat once we can see that our care recipients have become peers in their own right, peers in discernment. They can take their own faithful steps. This is one of the most powerful things in ministry. Because the reality is, we have had some unique opportunities to see people grow from our pouring out. We have seen youth become adults. We have seen the kids grow up. We have seen parents in ministry grow older. We've had new opportunities to take on new challenges and to adapt, just as Joseph had to adapt here. And now, imagine this. You are taking care of the Son of God. You are making sure that no one brings harm to him. You take him from place to place. You care for him. And like we keep teasing and joking about, they forget him in the temple. Oh, no. But along the way, at some point, Jesus Jesus, the very same man whom they watched him learn how to walk, is going to walk on water. The same man that they would break bread and feed is going to break a lot of loaves and make a lot of fishes. The same man that they would care for to make and bring into the world is the same man who's going to perform many miracles and ultimately give in to the crowd that wanted to kill him in the first place. And God works in and through this too. Friends, don't be afraid. No matter what the new year brings, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I'll end with this. Do you have any Christmas plans this week? Traditions you've continued this year? Yes? We had a slightly different Christmas tradition we started this year. My beloved grandmother for many years would host Christmas dinner, and for various reasons of health and whatnot, it's become more difficult. So we have tried different things to start up new traditions to host each other and make up a new plan. Because changes happen, right? Things occur. So we rented a cabin and I loaded up the truck with, I don't know, probably 500 pounds of stuff. We arrive at 11 a.m. and at about 11:30, 12 o'clock, I'm decorating a Christmas tree thinking, what in the world did I get myself into? We set this up, I go outside, I hang lights on this cabin in the woods and I think, man, this looks so goofy. But I want this to be a nice place to celebrate. The family arrived, we brought the ham out of the oven, we had carved it, we had gotten ready, we sat down, we had a lovely time. It felt like it went by so fast. And the fall morning I wake up and go, oh no, I have to pack all this. But I'm so grateful we got to do that, to take on new things. I felt like Joseph, well, here we go again, let's pack up and go again. So friends, no matter what comes this season, know that God is working in it. Know that God is good no matter what. And know that you are not serving alone. Amen? So let's solidify that belief. Let's pray over this morning. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we look forward to the new year emerging, and as we look forward to continuing to discern where you're calling us to go, God, whether we are called in the middle of the night or the middle of the day, may we take on like Joseph. May we get up and go. May we pick up our responsibilities and find new places for new people. May we continue to discern alongside you, seeking to avoid harm, to doing all good we can in all the places we can, as ever we are able, and giving thanks that though we are a limited people serving a limitless God, we know that you, God, working through us, can make all things possible. So God, help us continue to say yes, Lord. Help us continue to serve and lead on grace as we seek to do all the things we can for your good with your hands and feet. May we be your body. Continue to bless us and keep us as we seek to continue to bless and keep one another. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Together as one church, friends, so this is your prayer. Will you say amen? Amen.